morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. This is a very special Sunday for me because the man who introduced me to this church over 30 years ago is here. So I want to acknowledge our brother John and his wife Linda. They introduced me to this church, and that was the beginning of a partnership and a fellowship that has spanned over 3 decades. This morning, I want to draw your attention to a subject that I've entitled Seeking After God, or Seeking God. It is found in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and the book of Samuel is one of those Old Testament books that contains the history of God's people, the Israelites. It is a critical turning point for the children of Israel as they are moving from being led by judges and now to be led by kings. To prepare the way for the appointment of the king, there is a woman that I'm inviting us to learn from, to learn how to seek after God. There are many examples in the Bible of those that sought the face of God. Among them is the lady Hannah, and we'll find that story in 1 Samuel and chapter 1, and we'll be reading that passage very shortly. But suffice to say that there are 4 main characters in the first chapter. There is Elkanah, the husband of Peninnah and Hannah, and there is the priest by the name of Eli. As we read this passage of scripture, you will agree with me that there will be lessons that God would help us to learn, ways in which this woman of God sought the face of God. So if you have your Bibles open, let's read together from 1 Samuel and chapter 1. And by the way, the very name Hannah means the favor of God. And as we read, you'll be able to see Hannah seeking the favor of God. And the name of his son, Samuel, also seeks to show us how God is able to hear when we seek him. Let's read together from 1 Samuel and chapter 1. The Bible reads, "There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihum, son of Tohu, son of Zeus, an Ephraimite," meaning he was an Israelite. "He had 2 wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?' After they had eaten and drank in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? But put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Then Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I'll bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, an offer of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he, Samuel, worshipped the Lord there. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I want to suggest to us that as we attempt to seek God, we can learn how to seek after God by the lessons in the life of Hannah. There are four ways in which she demonstrates to us or models to us on how she sought the face of God or the presence of God. It was by pleading, by pardoning, by pledging, and lastly, by praising God. So firstly, dear friends, let's look at this passage of scripture as we observe the first way in which Hannah sought the face of God. Firstly, she was pleading before God. We see that in verse 6, verse 5, and 13 to 15. We see a woman who is barren, and it is because God himself had closed her womb. We see her broken, we see her burdened. Not only that, we also see Hannah silently, yet sorrowfully and painfully pleading before God, pleading before God. The Bible emphatically in verse 6 to 8 tells us she wept and did not eat. In other words, she wept and fasted before God. In describing herself and describing the act of pleading, she uses the word, I was pouring my soul before God. Here is another element of pleading that seems to communicate to us her dependence and trust in God alone. This prayer and this attitude and this way of seeking God is pleading before the presence of God. This is the prayer that seeks after God. This is the prayer that seeks the presence of God. This is the prayer that seeks the help of God. I know each one of us have been practicing seeking the face of God. This church is seeking God that a pastor will be raised for the church. If you ask some of us to pray, we will offer what I might refer to as an academic prayer. It is a prayer that tries to show how much we know. There are those of us who, if asked to pray, will be very casual about it and very repetitive. Yet there are others still that will pray just out of routine. Not so with Hannah. Not so with Hannah. In her brokenness, in her sorrow, she wept and fasted before God. God was the only hope. Oh, that God would teach us today and the days that come that he is the only hope. And to him alone we must take our plea. Polished, recited, rehearsed prayers may not be necessarily the best way of pleading before God. May God give us a burden, may God give us a desire to seek him only and to seek him as the only hope. Hannah did that in pleading before God. But secondly, we learn from Hannah pardoning before God. Pardoning before God. When we read from verse 8 to following, we hear these words. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than the son, 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I'll give him to the Lord all the days of my life, and no razor shall touch his head. Verse 12. And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her for a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, am a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. We see something of the pardoning before God in the life of Hannah. She is forgiving, she is forbearing. She's surrounded by her husband, a rival wife, and a priest. Elkanah, listen to his words. Am I not worth more than 10 sons? Talking to a barren woman. A bad habit of husbands, and me included. We want fixed things. But even with the closest companion of our life misunderstanding her, she still has this spirit of pardoning and forbearing. What about Peninnah, the rival wife, the other wife? In verse 6 and 7, we are told she provoked her. Every time, it was her pastime job. The rival woman provoked her. But patiently, painfully, Hannah was forbearing. What about the priest, the holiest man in her life, Eli? Eli, the spiritual figure, but disoriented as a priest, I suppose, out of step with what God wanted to achieve. Listen to what reaction she has towards Hannah. He mistook Hannah, who was deeply pouring her soul before God, as a drunken woman. Talk about loneliness in seeking God. Your own husband has misunderstood you. Your rival wife is mistreating you. And your priest or pastor has misplaced you. And yet, for Hannah, she continues to pour her soul before the Lord, the only hope in her life. Friends, society may misunderstand us. Society or our own community, friends and family may mishandle us. We may be misplaced, mistreated like Hannah was. We learn from Hannah. In the midst of seeking after God, we plead with God and we must pardon. It is no mistake, friends, that when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he says, "Forgive our trespasses as we also forgive others." Our hearts must be in the right place as we seek after God. Hannah is an example of a child of God extending grace in place of bitterness and grudge. Knowing to forgive is knowing a God who forgives. We learn seeking after God from Hannah, firstly, by the way she was pleading before God and by the way she was pardoning before God. But thirdly, friends, we learn together the pledging before God. Verse 11 to 18 and 27, recorded there is her vow. If you will hear, if you will remember, I will give my son over to you. And interestingly, in verse 11, he says, "And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.'" That last piece is what is called the Nazarite vow. Similarly, John the Baptist was one, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was a dedication to the Lord and for the Lord. Here, friends, we see a woman who is childless. The only son given to her does not make her selfish. She gives the son to God for the rest of the son's life. And in her dedication, specifically, that this will be a sacrifice to the Lord. The responsibility of seeking after God would include pledging before God. In Hannah's case, it is a pledge of submission. O Lord of hosts. She was very mindful, very knowledgeable of the sovereign God, the source of life, the sustainer of life, the one who had closed the womb and the one who had opened the womb. She addresses him in verse 11, Lord of hosts, a pledge of submission. But secondly, it is a pledge of surrender. It is a pledge of surrender. I will give up my son. The only great gift, she longed for the child. And when the child was weaned, she was not selfish. She was remembered, not forgotten. She did not forget her pledge. But thirdly, friends, this is not just a pledge of submission and surrender, but a pledge of sacrifice. I'll give my son to the Lord. May the Lord God Almighty, by his grace, help us not only to plead, not only to pardon, but as we seek after God, we seek not only to speak to him by our words, but to dedicate ourselves to him. To dedicate ourselves to him. This is the sovereign ruler of the skies, as the hymn writer would say. Ever gracious, ever wise. All our times are in thy hands, and all events at thy command. The sovereign Lord, whom we are seeking for our own personal lives, family needs, and the church's needs, is worthy of our worship and worthy of our dedication. Seeking after God, Hannah teaches us by pleading, pardoning, pledging, and lastly, praising before God. I've deliberately not read chapter 2. So chapter 1 shows us and helps us to see Hannah pleading, and Hannah pardoning, and Hannah pledging. But it is in chapter 2 that you find one of the most profound prayers given by a child of God. She begins by saying in chapter 2, verse 1, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." This woman knew God so well. And as I continue reading, please see something of the attributes of God that she brings about. She says, there is none holy like the Lord, verse 2. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Verse 6, the Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. Verse 9, he will guard the feet of his faithful one, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken into pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. A prayer of a woman that knew her God, who was sovereign and in control of all things, knowing very well that she came from pain to praise, knowing very well that here was a woman who was groaning and moved from groaning to glorifying God. And this, based on the knowledge of our God and the experience of her God. She reminds us that God is holy. There is no rock like our God. This God knows all things. This God is in charge. This God protects. This God will judge. This God will raise up others. This God who promotes others. Dearly beloved friends, as we think about seeking after God, may we be reminded this morning that there is power in praise. That our prayers and our seeking after God need not be a shopping list. Give us this, give us that, and give us the other. God is at work, even when we can't see. God is at work, even when we don't feel it. He is at work. Let us seek him. Oh, dearly beloved friends, if only in our seeking after God, seeking his presence, if only we knew the God of Hannah. May the Lord grant to us, open our eyes and open our hearts and open our minds, that we from henceforth might pray differently, sing our songs differently, serve one another differently, and give differently, because it is God alone who is worthy of our worship, worthy of our service. Therefore, dearly beloved friends, we can learn to seek after God from this worthy woman by the name of Hannah, who moved from sorrowing to singing. We can also. May we learn to seek God alone, because he's the only hope. May we learn to remember God, because he will remember us even when no one else would care to remember us individually and corporately. May we learn to allow God to define us, not the circumstances and not people around us, not even our society. May we seek to allow God to define us. And yes, may we learn to recognize and acknowledge God at all times. With all our anxieties and vexation, may we remember that there is a God who sees when no one is looking, There's a God who hears when no one would dare hear us. There's a God who feels with us, empathizes with us, and embraces us. And ultimately, may we be conscious to give all glory that belongs to God. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are grateful for a day such as this, granted to us to gather, to worship you, to read your word, to sing the songs of praise to you, and to learn from it. Dear Lord, would you by your grace give us the spirit that you gave to Hannah, a spirit that knew you, a spirit that discerned you, a spirit that depended on you. Help us as we seek after you for all our needs, that we would do so pleading, pardoning, pledging, and more so, ever praising you with grateful hearts, because we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.